Welcome to the Conference for Women teleclass, Living with Intent, the Keys to Finding More Meaning, Joy, and Life Balance. Our speaker today is Malika Chopra, a mom, media entrepreneur, speaker, and author. Her most recent book, Living with Intent, My Somewhat Messy Journey to Purpose, Peace, and Joy, was published last year. Malika Chopra is the founder of Intent.com, a website and app focused on personal, social, and global awareness. In Living with Intent, Malika provides a practical roadmap for how we can all move from thought to action to outcome. Participants received a link to download the roadmap in their teleclass reminder emails. You can also find the download link on your conference website. Go to the Resource tab and click Online Events. And now, let's welcome Malika Chopra.
Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled, to be connecting with women in this forum. So I'll share a little bit about my story and my journey and what finding balance and meaning and purpose has meant for me, particularly in the last few years. I grew up in a family where many people may know my father. He's the well-known author Deepak Chopra. And so my early years, to the surprise of many, were actually in a home that was quite stressful. My parents were young immigrants who came to the U.S. with $8 in their pocket, had me within a year, and my father worked 24/7 as a doctor in a hospital. And my early memories of childhood are actually of my father when he was at home, which was not often, completely stressed out. He drank a lot. He smoked a lot. He was very stressed. And there is a particular day, actually, which is very clear in my memory, when my father came home and something had changed. He had actually reached his own kind of crisis point and had learned how to meditate. This is in the 80s, in the 1980s. And for my father, he had this experience for the first time in his life of having a sense of peace, quiet, serenity, and being more in touch with himself and who he was beyond all the kind of constant chatter and the stress of his daily life as a doctor. So he came home, and my mom, who was a stay-at-home mom and quite an anchored, non-melodramatic person, he dragged her to learn meditation that same day. And for her, it was really like coming home. But my brother and I was 9, and my brother was 6. And for us, meditation became a tool in our toolkit that we had growing up. So I was very fortunate to have this tool growing up. One of the exercises my dad would do with my brother and I is to state a phrase after our meditations that goes like this. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience and set the goals I will achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. And my father would ask my brother and I after our meditations, what do you ask for? Well, being kids in Boston, we would ask for things like tickets to the Celtics or a trip to Hawaii. There were many material things we would ask for, but my father would then guide us to ask for things like love, connection, inspiration, hope, a sense of purpose. So I talk a lot about intention, and that really comes from this concept that intents represent who we aspire to be at our deepest levels. They really come from the level of the soul. They're different from goals. We live in a very goal-oriented society, which is really a task of the mind. You know, we have milestones, we achieve or do not achieve a goal, but intents really represent who we aspire to be as individuals, as members of our community, as members of our family, and as citizens of Mother Earth. So I have spent my career really thinking about intention. I share a story, actually. When I graduated from college, my first job was actually something that most people would not assume a Chopra would do. I got an opportunity at a very young age to launch the channel MTV in India. And this was like a dream job at the time. I got to go to India, travel all over the country, actually met my husband at the first ever rave in New Delhi, India. Again, an un-Chopra-like place to meet my husband. And I had this incredible opportunity where I worked on ad sales, business development, launching satellites to carry our channel, meeting with corporations. And it was an incredible experience. And there's a particular moment, again, there, which kind of shifted my life. We had just sold our first ever sponsorship for the channel. And we're driving home in our fancy car from our fancy corporate building to a five-star hotel. But in those days, when you drove through the streets of Mumbai, where we were in India, you had to drive through slums. And so as we were driving through a slum, we found that we got stuck in traffic, something pretty natural in India and particularly in Bombay. But this time, we really were not moving. As we inched along over the next hour, we finally came to the area where there was a group of children who were blocking the road. And as we approached, we wondered what's going on here. And these were obviously poor children in tattered clothes without shoes. And you could see the malnutrition in their stomachs. And as we approached, we saw that they were crowded by a roadside stall. And in the stall, in the corner, there was a television hanging from some wires. And on the television were American kids grinding to hip-hop music on the beaches of Santa Monica, which is actually where I live right now. And there was the logo of our channel. Everyone in my car began to cheer because this was another sign of success that we had reached every corner of the planet. And for me, actually, my heart stopped. And I had a moment where I thought, oh, my God, what am I doing? You know, I had grown up in this atmosphere of asking, how can I serve? You know, what is my intent? What kind of values do I believe in? And I realized that that particular career path that was very exciting and sexy in many ways was really not the path for me. I was not serving in the way that for me felt right and aligned. So I left that job, and really my career path since then has been trying to figure out how I can serve and how I can serve in a variety of ways. I do have an MBA. I went to Kellogg Business School. I've had many startup companies. My most recent startup is actually a company called Intent.com, which really, again, focuses on helping people and supporting people to express their deepest desires, their intents, and then creating a social network around that. So people share their intents. It may be, my intent may be to be a good mother. My intent may be to eat less gluten. My intent may be to connect with those I love on a deeper level. And then people actually support one another and share ideas and content. And we have a pretty robust blog as well that shares information with them. So I've kind of had this messy journey, which is the subtitle of my latest book, which is called Living with Intent, My Somewhat Messy Journey to Purpose, Peace, and Joy. And that really was a culmination of another turning point in my life where a few years ago, I was speaking to an audience. I public speak, and I'm often speaking to women's groups, actually. And I was speaking to a group of women. You know, I'm a mom. I have a 14-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old daughter. I'm an entrepreneur. And I found myself, about 2 or 3 years ago, really struggling to find this balance between what I wanted to do at home and with my children and with my family, and then the realities of being an entrepreneur who's handling investors, trying to launch my company. And I had got to a place where I was stressed out. I felt too stressed to even do my daily meditations, believe it or not. And I should say that even though I grew up meditating and learned when I was 9, I'm actually a very irregular meditator. And so at this point in my life a few years ago, I really wasn't exercising, surviving on caffeine and sugar, forget about meditating or taking care of myself in any other ways. So I was actually speaking to an audience about meditation and wellness, and while I was speaking to them, I was in the back of my head having a parallel conversation in which I was thinking, gosh, why did I have that chocolate chip cookie and macchiato before coming on stage? I need to go pick up the dry cleaning. Oh, shoot, I have to get the dog food. And I realized in that moment that I was not being present. I was not connecting with the audience even about what I was talking about and was being quite a hypocrite, actually. So to deal with kind of all this drama that was going on in my head, I asked the audience to meditate so that I could actually kind of figure out what's going on with myself. And as I stood on stage, I realized that something was off in my life. In many ways, I couldn't even state what it was. I just felt that I was overwhelmed and I was stressed, that I was busy and running around every day, but at the end of the day, I really didn't even know what I had accomplished. And again, this kind of stress between balancing my family, my career, and also at the end of the day, feeling like I was doing something of purpose. So that began the journey of my book, which was really kind of my process of figuring out what, at this stage in my life, it means to lead a life that's healthier, happier, more connected, and of purpose. And for the book, I did many things. I actually went to a health retreat for the first time in my life. I traveled a bit to explore things, including going to India and taking care of my grandparents. But I also reached out to experts in this wellness category and in people who knew kind of and have studied many things around happiness and health. So I spoke to people like Eckhart Tolle, Marianne Williamson, Dr. Andrew Weil, Dr. Dan Siegel, who's written over 20 books on health and mindfulness. I even reached out and spoke to people like Carol Stern, who's the head of UNICEF, because I figured if anyone is living a life with purpose, it must be Carol Stern, because she's saving the lives of children every day. And so I had an incredible experience speaking to many of these world-renowned leaders, but perhaps the first one was the funniest, because I reached out to my father. And we happened to be home for a weekend, and I had taken my kids to La Jolla in San Diego, where my parents have a place. And my dad was sitting at the computer, you know, on Twitter, like he likes to do. And my mom was cooking food. My mom's like a really nurturing mother, so I was taking care of the grandkids. And so I decided to approach my dad and ask him for any tips he had on what I was going through. Now, much of the world, most people in the world, they will go to my father for advice. And the funny thing in my family is no one in my family actually goes to my father for advice. We go to my mom. And so it was unusual for me to go to my father. My father, first, as I started to talk to him, I said, you know, Papa, I want to talk to you. I'm feeling unhealthy. I'm feeling stressed and out of balance. And I could see that my father paused, and there was a look of panic in his eyes as he looked at my mother for help. And then I had to reassure him that, no, there's nothing majorly wrong. It's just I'm feeling out of whack, and I'm trying to figure out how to change my life. And I could watch my dad as he kind of transitioned from dad mode to Deepak mode. And that really began our journey together, which is we worked together to kind of look at the work of Dan Siegel, who I subsequently interviewed, and came up with a balance wheel. So a very practical tool that we could use to really figure out where in my life I was lacking. It includes everything from sleep to food to movement, critical aspects of our life, but then also looking at what am I doing every day career-wise? Am I having fun? Do I have a sense of creativity or playfulness or joy in my life? do I feel a connection to spirit or a sense of purpose? And so this balance wheel is very helpful for me to actually figure out where in my life I was struggling. And that really began this journey of intent. And when I speak at the conference, I'm going to be really excited to share this path. But very quickly, the path includes six steps that I created around the words or around the letters I-N-T-E-N-T, so around intent. I stands for incubation. And this is the first step, which I believe is reconnecting to ourselves, to finding a quiet place. Often I have found that when I ask people what do they want and we do this exercise together, many women don't know what they want anymore. And I found that that was actually where I was as well. And so incubation really is that first step to kind of reconnect with ourselves. I do teach meditation as one way to do that. But to really think about what we want, and sometimes that takes time. So I chose the word incubation specifically because it represents the need to take time. N is for notice, which is noticing our internal dialogue. I found that I was in a place where I was constantly criticizing, condemning, and complaining. And that, when you kind of, that's your internal dialogue, often that's your external reality as well. I also be, again, noticing the messages that my body was sending me, as well as, you know, starting to notice more the people, the places, and circumstances around me and how that could help with my journey. T is for trust. And trust is about trusting our intuition, trusting that when we ask ourselves, what do I want, that those answers, which often may come from the ego, trusting that we really dig deep and we trust that those answers are really what's going to make us happy. Also trusting the universe, trusting that, you know, other people are going to be there to support us. E is for express, which is actually expressing what you want. I do believe that the ritual of writing or stating or sharing your intent, you don't have to do it on a social media platform. You may want to just kind of write it on a piece of paper and then kind of create a ritual to kind of let go of it in the universe. But expressing what you want helps us take ownership and say, this is important to me and I want to work on this. And, you know, putting that, planting the seed. Intents are like seeds. You know, we plant them, we put dirt on them, we water them, we let the sun nurture them, and often we don't know the beautiful flower or tree it's going to blossom into. But expression is really like planting the seed. The next N is for nurture, which is actually taking care of ourselves. Many women, we're so busy taking care of everyone else that we don't nurture ourselves, and that's where we really suffer. Also, nurture is about letting go of the guilt. And, you know, I know for me, I often am guilty that I'm not doing enough while I'm actually doing too much. It's learning to say no as well. And then T, the final T, is for take action. So at the right time, it's very important that we do take steps, that we do become goal-oriented, and we take action to actually take these intents, our deepest desires, and incorporate them in our life. So very quickly, that's kind of the path to intent, and I am really excited to participate in these conferences and share my book, which again is called Living with Intent, My Somewhat Messy Journey to Purpose, Peace, and Joy, and to have a conversation together to really explore what it means to live a healthier, happier, more connected, and more purposeful life. So thank you, and I'd love to take any questions.
Oh, thank you, Malika. We have a lot of questions. First, I just want to remind listeners that you can download the roadmap that Malika just discussed, the Roadmap to Intent, from your either from your teleclass reminder email, or you can find the download link on your conference website. Go to the Resource tab and click Online Events. And I just want to summarize the six steps to living with intent. They are incubate, notice, trust, express, nurture, and take action. And Malika, I want to start. We had a lot of questions about the guilt issue. Mm-hmm. And you talk about nurture, being gentle with yourself as you try to find your way and letting go of the guilt. That is something that is so hard for so many women. What steps do you recommend someone take to nurture themselves and let go of the guilt?
Yeah, so boy, this is the hardest one, I feel. And I do feel like it's actually, likewise, one of the first questions I get. You know, I think as women, and actually it's interesting, it's kind of like whether you're working, not working, whether you have kids, whether you don't have kids, I find that there's actually women across the board are feeling guilt. Maybe it's just part of the feminine, who knows? But so, you know, I personally am constantly feeling guilt, like, you know, if I'm not at my kid's school, my daughter's school for, you know, whatever, the St. Patrick's Day lunch, and instead at a meeting, I'm constantly feeling guilty that I'm not there. Or if I decide to go to school and I'm not at the meeting, then I'm feeling guilty about that. I'm often feeling guilty if I can't show up for something or be there for my husband for an important event because I'm there with my kids or I need to do something with my mom. And I think many of us are in kind of, you know, we're responsible for many other people outside of even our work situation, or we're trying to proceed in a career which is making us make many other sacrifices. So I have taken the approach to really first shift my dialogue from one of feeling guilty, but also of kind of constantly feeling like I'm making sacrifices, to make a shift just internally of empowered choices. And, you know, that I think when I kind of start to take a deep breath and anchor and also ask myself, is this really going to serve myself and others in the right way? So one of the big things for me was learning to say no. I feel like I was always trying to say yes to everyone and please everyone, and realize, you know, at the end of the day, actually, if I don't show up for hot lunch, it's okay. Nobody else is going to judge me, even my daughter. You know, it's going to be okay as long as I'm there for the other things that make an important, you know, are important to her. And so I think for me it's been, when I have these opportunities where I'm at a crossroads or I'm feeling kind of and the guilt starts coming up, first, I do believe that if we take a deep breath, if we stop, this was something Dr. Dan Siegel also talked to me about, which is actually in those moments where you start feeling anxiety and guilt, stop, which is S is for stop, T is for take 3 breaths, O is for observe. Observe what's happening in your body. Observe your thoughts, and then proceed. And when you start reacting in situations like this, actually what happens from in your brain is you transition from kind of this reactive mode, which is, you know, often the fight-flight response, which often makes us do things out of guilt, versus, so you kind of transition from this fight-flight mode to actually taking that breath and saying, okay, is this the right thing to do right now? And I think that is part of that noticing aspect to say, you know, am I making the right choices to serve in a way that's aligned with really what is going to serve rather than doing it out of guilt?
Got it. Very helpful advice. Now, one of the things you write about are micro-intents. I'm wondering what you mean by that. And how might micro-intents help a stressful mom?
Yeah, so, you know, because I have this site, intent.com, and we have a very open question there, which is, what's your intent? And often in my classes, you know, I'll ask people what their intents, and I found that many people feel overwhelmed by that question. They feel like they have to have this grand, you know, lifelong intent or something that's going to, you know, be of huge impact. And actually, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes we don't know what our intent is, which is why I have that whole first step of incubating. And so other times, we just need to figure out what we can do today. So this idea of micro-intents has actually been very helpful for me personally, which is, you know, let me just think of one thing today that is going to help me stay kind of anchored or focused on relationships or what I need to do. So I share in the story, you know, there was one particular day where I knew that my business, I was going to have a lot of challenges with my investors. And so when I woke up in the morning, I had a lot of anxiety about the fact that this was going to be a stressful day. And so I actually just stated the intent that, you know, my intent today is to remain anchored in the midst of chaos. And I have to say, first, people started to support me on that on my social site. But more importantly, throughout the day, whenever the chaos began and the stress and the phone calls and whatnot came, I would go back to that intent. I'd just look at it again, or I'd kind of remind myself that I had stated that again, taking a breath, taking a pause, to really make that what anchored me for the day. And I did find that just kind of going back to that micro intent, just an intent for the day, helped me do that. Similarly, I'm someone who is constantly struggling with my addiction to sugar and caffeine, and often I will just kind of set these micro intents every day instead of trying to think, okay, I'm just not going to have sugar and I'm going to let go of, you know, all this bad stuff. If I just do it on a daily basis, it helps me more for the long term rather than trying to do everything at the same time.
Got it. Now, we have some questions about the balance wheel that you referred to earlier. How does it help parents who are feeling overwhelmed? And can you explain again how the balance wheel works?
Absolutely. So there are different sections to the balance wheel. And again, the topics that we chose here are actually based on the work of Dr. Dan Siegel, who I had mentioned, who really looks at brain integration and looking at you know, the different aspects of our life that actually help our brain create kind of stronger synapses for a state of better well-being. So the first one is rest and sleep, then good nutrition and exercise, relationships, so how are my relationships with my family, my friends, my community, work, financial and career, intellectual stimulation, creativity and play, and then spirituality and a sense of purpose. And so one of the exercises I do with people and in these workshops is we'll actually just sit quietly. I ask people to close their eyes, and then I basically will ask questions. Are you feeling rested? Do you get enough sleep? Are you happy with your career? And I ask people to number each section. So 1 to 3 is suffering, 4 to 7 is struggling, and 8 to 10 is thriving. And I think why this exercise was helpful for me personally was when I did speak to my father and when I had that moment on stage, I think I just felt so overwhelmed and stressed in my life that I didn't even know where to begin. And so this exercise for me just helped me kind of break it down into the different aspects of my life and then really look at, okay, I'm thriving here, but I'm really struggling here, you know, and kind of breaking down the different aspects so at least I could see, okay, one of the realizes I had is that I had no time for creativity or for play. I wasn't laughing anymore. I had no intellectual stimulation. And so, you know, things like reading novels and poetry for most of my life were things that fed my soul, but as a busy mom with kids, like, who has time to do any of that anymore? But when I saw that I was really struggling in that area, that helped me actually set the intent to kind of bring more creativity and play into my life. And I did a simple thing like start a book club with my friends. You know, we meet every 6 months, and just reading a book has actually changed my life so dramatically because that was an area I was really struggling with. So the balance wheel is really meant to make the different aspects of our life to basically create a scenario where we can really think about just different aspects, figure out if we're struggling or if we're thriving, and then based from there start to make changes that will bring us more balance.
Wonderful. Well, that is all we have time for today. Our thanks to Malika Chopra. Today's teleclass will be available as a podcast on your conference website. And if you'd like to learn more about living with intent, you can visit Malika at intent.com. You can also hear Malika Chopra speak at the Watermark Conference for Women Silicon Valley on April 21st. Register at watermarkconferenceforwomen.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.